So I'd like to, good evening everyone. I'd like to first recap what we learned last week in Shina Makom and then complete that topic. We left off one or two points, one major point. And then I would like, hopefully we'll have time, I'd like to go through some of the halachas of the brachas that we make Rosh Hashanah night at the Suda on the different simanim, etc. There's a few interesting halachas, important halachas. So in terms of Shinui Makom, so we learned last week that when is it that a Shinui Makom is relevant? Meaning, when is it that, well, first of all, what does a Shinui Makom do? What a Shinui Makom does, according to the Psak of the Ramah, Minig Ashkenaz at least, is that if a person makes an official Shinui Makom on the foods that are subject to Shinui Makom, when he comes back to continue eating, or even if he continues eating in the new location, he is required to make a new bracha rishona. Shinui Makom does not obligate him to make a bracha achrona first, meaning even if he made a Shinui Makom and then he came back to his original place, he does not say a bracha achrona on what he ate till then, but he needs to recite a new bracha rishona because the Shinui Makom broke and ended the effect of his bracha rishona. So he needs to make a new bracha rishona, and then when he finishes and he eats, he'll make a bracha achrona, which will cover everything he ate, both during his first eating session and his second eating session. So that's what Shinui Makom does. Now, we said that Shinui Makom only applies to foods where the halacha is that they require a bracha achrona b'makoma, foods where you're obligated to make a bracha achrona where you ate, which means that if you did eat here and you're left without a bracha achrona, you can't just make a bracha achrona wherever you are. You're forced to either come back to the original location and make a bracha achrona, or to continue eating some of the same type of food in the second location and eventually make the bracha achrona there. So since you're forced to do that, you're forced to either continue eating there or to come back. So your achila hasn't broken. The Shinui Makom did not break your bracha rishona because you're not done yet. You can't be done. You're either forced to come back or forced to continue eating. So mainly your bracha rishona continues. That's by food. So I might have said it the wrong way, but therefore by foods like that, foods which require bracha achrona b'mekoma, there is no issue of Shinui Makom. Shinui Makom will not cancel your bracha rishona, will not end the validity or the effect of your bracha rishona. It only does so by foods that do not require a bracha achrona b'mekoma. Those foods where you could go elsewhere and just make a bracha achrona there without even continuing to eat there and without coming back to your original makom. So as soon as you leave and do that shi makom, your bracha rishona is broken. And so what foods are those? Well, let's start with the ones that foods that do require bracha achrona b'mekoma, so they're not subject to Shinui Makom. That would be classically bread. Once a person ate a kazayis of bread, he has to bench where he ate. So that's the case that for sure requires a bracha achrona b'mekoma, so it's not subject to the laws of Shinui Makom. The other end of the spectrum is foods like shahakal foods or foods that where the bracha achrona is bari nefashos. Most fruits and vegetables, other than the shivas minim of Israel, but most fruits and vegetables are subject to require the bari nefashos, and therefore by those foods, all the bari nefashos foods, the Shinui Makom is a factor. Shinui Makom does break your bracha rishona, and if you made a Shinui Makom, you would have to, if you want to continue eating now, whether in the old place or even if you come back to whether in the new place or even if you come back to the original place, if you want to continue eating, you need to make a new bracha rishona. The foods that are in the middle where it's a shaila are the foods that require a me'ein shalosh, either al hamichya on grain foods, cakes and noodles and the like, or me'ein shalosh of al ha'etz v'al priya etz, meaning the bracha that you make after the seven species of Eretz Israel, grapes and pomegranates, dates, olives, and figs. Those which require the bracha of me'ein shalosh, that's a suffek. It's a machlokas poskim, whether that bracha must be made b'mekom or not, just as there's a machlokas achronim by al hamichya on cake. Does that need to be made b'mekom or not? There are more that hold that by cake it does, and more than hold that by the other shivas minim, but they're both machloksim. And therefore, over there is for sure not kedai. Not kedai to leave and with the intention of continuing to eat. Because if you do so, it's a suffik. It's a suffik if you need to make a new bracha. Lamaisa, if you did leave and you want to continue eating. So you eat without, you don't repeat the bracha rishona, because this is a suffik. Suffik brachas lalka. But we said from Rabbi Yashiv and others, it's better in that case to make a bracha achrona before you leave. You ate a kazayis of cake, and then you realize that you're going, you have to go elsewhere, and you want to eat more. You're not finished. You're going elsewhere either just, you know, to do something and come back, or you're going elsewhere to continue eating. But in either case, you want to continue eating, it's still kedai to make a bracha achrona first, which normally we'd say, don't do that. Don't make a bracha achrona if you're in the middle of eating and then have to make a new bracha rishona. But here, if you don't make a bracha achrona and you make a shini milk and come back, you can have a suffik if you're allowed to eat or not allowed to eat. And so better make a bracha achrona, and then when you come back, you'll, then for sure, of course, at that point, you'll have to make a new bracha rishona, whether you come back to eat in the first place or whether you continue eating in the second place. Of course, you'll need a new bracha rishona because you already made a bracha achrona on the original eating.
In the first place, Or if you had zero kavanah either way,
right? If you definitely finished eating, you had no intention, maybe, I don't know, maybe you washed my achronim and then all of a sudden somebody interrupted you and you ended up not benching, or you did something, said, okay, Rebbe, it's time to bend, let's bench, and then you just didn't end the benching, yeah, then you can't just continue eating in a new place without a bracha because you mesich das. But let's say either you intended, or you intended nothing, you just middle of eating and then you said, oh, it's late, I gotta go. And you didn't officially stop eating, you know, mesich das, you just ran. So in those cases, there's no hesech hadas. So via, as we were saying, the shinui makom will not require a new bracha rishona. You can continue eating at the new place, or you can come back to your first place and eat there with the same bracha. Okay, so now what's called the shinui makom? So we said, well, if you just go from room to room within your own house or within a building which is all one rishus, all one ownership, then that's not called shini makom, meaning to say, for sure, b'di'evid, if you ended up leaving the room you were in and going to another room, even if you can't see the original location, as long as it's all under, as I said, one house or one building, which is under one ownership and one, you know, one occupancy, then for sure it's not a shini makom. You can continue eating in the other place without a bracha rishona, even foods, bar nefesh's foods. However, lechatchila, you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't leave from cheder to cheder unless you either had in mind, over here, having in mind will help. Having in mind when you make the first bracha, I'm just eating shakal, I'm eating tuna fish, but I have in mind that I'm going to move to another room, then it's mutl lechatchila as long as it's just another room, it's not outside. It's mutl lechatchila, or it's mutl lechatchila if you could see the other room from this room. I could see the other, you know, from the other room, I could see back to where I was eating, at least part of the room where I was eating. Then it's mutl lechatchila. Or if it's your common practice, I'm eating in the dining room, and I always go back and forth to the kitchen in the middle to bring more food or to whatever. I'm constantly going back and forth. So even if I didn't specifically have in mind, and maybe I can't even see the original place, but that's my, it's a nohug, it's quite common that when I'm eating I go back and forth between these two rooms, then it's mutter lechatchila in all those cases. But that's all from cheder to cheder. Once you go outside, then that's already called the shinui makom. You go out of your house into the street. That's a shinui makom. Now, we mentioned there's a shtickel suffik. If you could see from the street, you could see through the window back to the room that you ate in, it's a shtickel suffik. Maybe it's not, so better avoid that. Once you have to go outside, make sure, and you want to continue eating, or you want to go back and continue eating, make sure to first walk off to the side where you can't see the room. Once you're outside, it's not so easy to see the room you ate, unless it happens to be you ate right near the, you know, right near the end of a room in the end of the house. So move over to the side a little bit where you can no longer see your room, and then you'll definitely be considered shinui makom, and you'll definitely need a new bracha rishona on things like tuna fish and meat and cheese and the fruits, which are not shivas aminim, as we said.
And any of those cases where it's suffic, it would just be better, like, just to make enough, like, I'm trying to flush this and just continue eating, like, make another bracha rishona, right? Like, that's the easy.
Well, that's why I said the Eitza for the shivas aminim, right? To make a bracha achrona first.
But I'm saying, let's say, even for, like, a soda, right? So you use places, right? So you want to continue drinking, so to make a bar nefashos.
Well, there's very few cases of suffik, though. Where is they going to... if you once you left the house, there's not going to be sveikos, except
I'm saying in that case where
you can see the place. Right. So better not to make. Better to just move a little, walk around to the side for a second. Then you have to make a new bracha rishona rather than making a bracha achrona and then a bracha rishona. Forget about the bracha. Don't make the bracha achrona. Just walk around to the side. Walk to a place where you can't see the room, and then you make a bracha rishona over there.
But that only applies if you go out to the front. If you go to your backyard.
Okay, so we'll get to that. So far I said you went to the street, right? Right, you went to the street.
You just went to like bring in your trash. You're on that like part there.
Okay, so let me get to it in a second. Okay, so you went to the so the question is, what happens if you went to the back, if you went onto your property in the front? So we said if you went into the backyard, if the backyard is enclosed by a fence, then many poskim say that that's like just a different room. That's considered just went from room to room, in which case you do not make another bracha achrona, not make a bracha rishona, even if you didn't have in mind and you can't see the spot, you still don't make another bracha rishona because it's room to room. But that's only a backyard enclosed by a fence, according to many poskim. We said over from Moshe Feinstein, as they heard this from Shmuel first a number of times, that he held a backyard even if it's not enclosed by a fence. If it's your backyard, then that's considered just going from room to room, and therefore it will not require another bracha rishona. But if you go out in the front, so he said in the front, first of all, the front is typically not fenced in. And so according to most poskim, the first group of poskim, for sure, once you go out in the front, even if you're on your own property, you're on your carport or whatever, it doesn't make a difference. Because according to the majority of poskim that I said, it's not fenced in, so it's for sure like going outside. It's the same as if you went, a block away. And even like Ramosh, I mentioned this a little bit like as a Sufi last time, but I confirmed with him first during the week that he said Pashas, even Ramosh would agree in that case that you need to make, it is a Shini Makom, because it's only the backyard where, he said, because people, it's common that backyard is more of an extension of your house. You're eating, you might have a grill in the backyard, you might have a picnic bench in the backyard, you're right, you go back and forth. The front is not as common. The front, you're going outside only because you want to take out the garbage, you want to help somebody bring in something for the car, or somebody's speaking to you. You don't run in and out, you don't as commonly go in and out. So he felt also, even Rav Moshe would agree that once you go to the front, you're out of your house, even though you're on your property, but it's out of the house, then you need a new bracha.
And in place, for example, Latin America, you see that all the houses are fenced all the way around, so you actually...
Okay.
Sometimes I will in those places...
You mean even in the front, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, so then the chara, that would be like just from room to room. That would be from room to room. But I'm talking about what's more common over here, and most places I've seen in North America, where the front is typically not fenced, at least by a private house. Sometimes you have buildings with courtyard. Okay. Now, if you go, so once you go to the street, we said it's a hashina. Certainly, if you go into somebody else's house, nothing to talk about. But we said a chiddush from a number of poskim. Even if you're under the same roof, you're in a building. So we said already a building from room to room. If it's all one ownership, one occupancy, it's not a shinimako. But if it's an apartment building and you go into somebody else's apartment, then many of the gedolim said yes, that's called a shinimako. Even though the lashon shabur is, as long as you're under one roof, that's still considered room to room. But many people are going to say, but that's only when you're under one roof and it's, like I said, one shame, one occupancy, one ownership. Occupancy is the better word, I think, in this case. One occupancy. But if once it's somebody else's apartment, that's like somebody else's house. It happens to be under the same, you're both under the same roof of the building, maybe even on the same floor of the building, so you're under the same ceiling. But it's somebody else's apartment, that's already Shina Rishis. That's not all posts can agree to that, but many posts can say it like that. Okay, and I mentioned even some say even if you just go out to this into the hallway from an apartment building, you go into the hallway, which is joint occupancy, joint usage. It's not your private area anymore. So I believe from Rabbi Yashiv, quoted him, Zosar Bracha says even then, Shina Makom, that's like going outside of the house. It's not room to room. Once you left your private apartment, which is which is occupied only by you and your family, and you went into an area that's occupied by multiple families, or occupied or used by multiple families, then that's already called Shina Makom. Yes.
In a case like that we have different opinions, do we say it's a fek berachot le'akel,
So, it's good in these cases to try to get out of the suffix, like, try to, if you can, already go to a, if you can, step outside all the way, or avoid it. Try to avoid walking out of your apartment when you're eating. If somebody comes to the door and wants to speak with you, so I mentioned, so don't go out into the hall and have a private word with him. Bring him into the house and have a private word. It's night, and I said it's more derech eretz anyway. But even if it's a type of situation, your neighbor comes, he doesn't want. Could you come out? I want to say, well, I'm in the middle of eating, and if I walk out, I'm gonna have a shiloh. Try to avoid it. If you're in that position, so there is a rule, safik brachas lahakel, but I'm not going to tell you by every machlokas between, let's say, Rabbi Yashav and Rishon Zalman Arbach, where one says to make a brach, one says not, we're automatically going to apply the rule of safik brachas lahakel. Avdavka, you have to know. Sometimes perhaps you have to see what the rov deis are, or perhaps you have to learn the sugya yourself and try to come to an understanding, or perhaps ask the Rav that you always ask for, bottom line halacha, something like that. I'm not just going to say by automatically safik brachas lahakel there. But I will say try to avoid these questionable situations. And then I wanted to go, and one more case which came up last week, which is a review to a sukkah. If you go to your sukkah, so if your sukkah is in your backyard, well, so if it's in your backyard, which is surrounded by mechisas, so then it's room to room. Even if you just stayed out in the backyard, so moving into the sukkah is not going to make it worse. That's going to be considered room to room. Or according to Rav Moshe, even if the backyard is not enclosed, but if the sukkah is in the backyard, then it's room to room. Cheder l'cheder, no new bracha. According to the first group of poskim, if this sukkah is in the backyard, even but it's not enclosed by a fence, then it will be. Once you walk down to the backyard, it will be considered. You're out already and you need the bracha, but only unless your sukkah is mamish right against your house. Like if you can walk from your kitchen, straight into the sukkah. The sukkah is up against the house, even though technically it's not the same structure. It's a different structure, and it's not surrounded by a fence. But there, once it's adjacent to your house and you walk straight into the sukkah, that we will call room to room, and it will not require a new bracha. Okay.
What if someone's in a park and then they go out of the park?
So in a park, it's an enclosed area, closed by fence, and now they move out?
Yeah, but it's a vicious rap.
Yeah, so that will require a bracha, though. Once they go out of the enclosure, it will require a new bracha.
But it's all a vicious rap.
Okay, but it's not, that's a Rishon Rabbah is not a reason not to make a bracha. Okay, that's considered, just like if I go from my house to Rishon Rabbah, I have to make a bracha. So if I go from an enclosure, an enclosed area to the street, I have to make a bracha. And in fact, the Zasa Bracha brings, though, he means a Chiddush, I mean, that Rabbi Yashav said, though, if there's an Erev around an area, that also is enclosed. Just like Legabe Shabbos, it has walls around it. It's hard to see the walls, but it has halachic walls. So he said, if I recall, the one who wrote the Sefer, his original Natiya was that's not going to be called walls, Legabe this, but Rabbi Yashav said, yes, it is. That is going to be considered walls, even Legabe this din. So, okay.
You mean that even someone's front yard would be considered an enclosure?
Right, except that's not going to help if you made the bracha in your house, though, because it's not your private property enclosed. It's enclosed with the whole Rishus around it.
One would it help?
Saying, if you went from it, you walked out of it, you were in the area, and you walked out of the area, or in this case that he asked, if you're in a park, you're anyway in the public area, and you walk out of those enclosure, but you're still enclosed by the Erev.
As long as someone can see it, still, right? Or even, no. Not even, no matter how far you is, as long as...
If it's long as enclosed.
Okay, then
L'char is long, according to this Pesach from Eliyashiv, as long as you stay within that. Okay, I didn't see other opinions on this particular issue, but okay. Okay, so now, this is pretty much a summary. Two new points. One I mentioned quickly at the end, and that is there's another exception to the rule of Shini Makom, and that is if you're eating with other people. If you're eating with other people, even just eating tuna fish or eating Bari Nefesh's foods, and you leave and you go outside, you go to your neighbor's house, biggest Shini Makom you can go. But then you come back to eat, and at least one of the people you're eating with is still there, still eating. He has not yet made a bracha chorani. He's still in the middle of his eating session. Then you don't have to make another bracha. Because the fact that you left people behind, that maintains your kvius. That maintains your established makom here. So if there just happened to be people eating there and you aren't eating with them, it's just... you know, in a place where, let's say a quasi public place, a place like here, and that's not your private home, and you happen to be eating, and someone else is eating at the table there, but you're not eating together with them, and you walk outside for something, then you walk back in, you have to make a bracha. But if you're eating with somebody else, you're sitting with a friend at this table eating together, and you walk outside into the street or far away, and you come back and he's still eating, then you don't make a bracha. And again, this applies to the foods that normally shini makom affects. Of course, bread, you don't make another bracha. That, even if you're eating by yourself, we're talking about foods that shini makom normally does break the bracha. Here, it won't if you left someone behind.
If someone makes a bracha, having in mind that they're going to go to one other room, but then they end up going to five, and it's not common.
So b'di'evit, at the end of the day, as long as it's only cheder l'cheder, you never make a bracha. It's just not what you shouldn't lechatchila. You shouldn't do that. But if you did it already, cheder l'cheder, you never make a new bracha. Okay. The other point, which is very important, it's not just the point, is another major exception to this whole parsha is called hochei drachim, a person who's traveling, a person who's on the move. So there, the whole concept is different, because the whole the idea of shini makom is that I made a bracha here, this is my kvias, this is my spot, this is my place. Then when I go out, I go to a different place, I've changed my kvias, so I lose the effects of my bracha. But if I never had a kvias to begin with, I wasn't established in one place. I was traveling. I was outside. I was in my car and going from place to place and maybe making stops, getting out, getting back in, etc. I never had a kvias. I never had an established place. So there's no rule of shini makom. So that would mean as follows. This is one case for sure. You went out and you made a bracha, let's say in the street. You made a bracha in the street, you're going somewhere, you're traveling somewhere, you made the bracha when you were on the move, when you were going to go, so then you don't have to make a new bracha, even if you go in and out. Let's say you're delivering things, and you're going into people's houses, but in and out, you don't make a new bracha, because you never had a kvias. Or if you're driving in your car, and you're doing that, driving in your car, and you have to drop a few things. So they give the example Purim, and people going in the car and stopping at people's houses, deliver shalach manos and whatever, things of that sort, and they go in and out of people's houses. Even if they made a bracha on shahakol or something on something in the car or in the street or in someone's house when they weren't kavua there, had no plans of staying there, then it doesn't require a new bracha. Or even in your own house, you're ready to leave. You just, let's say, you made yourself a cup. People have a cup of coffee in the morning with them, so you made a cup of coffee. And by the way, we're not getting into the appropriateness or lack of such of eating in the street. We're not getting into ochel b'shuk dom lekel. Okay. So no one make any duke of any inferences about that from this. But let's say you make yourself a coffee, and you're ready to leave. You just want to make a bracha of the coffee before you step out, because make sure it's not too hot, or see if you need to put in a little bit more milk, or whatever it is, or it's too full. You're going to walk out, it's going to spill. So you want to make first, but you're ready to leave. So, and you make the bracha in your house, and then step out. You don't need to make a new bracha, even when you get to the street, and even when you get to your car. You don't need a new bracha, because you were a traveler. Or you're waiting for someone to pick you up. You're waiting for a ride, you're standing by your window, and you make a bracha on something, but you're waiting. You're just waiting for the guy to come. You're ready to leave. So then you have no kvias in your house. I'm on the move already. I'm on the move. I'm just waiting for it. As opposed to if I say, I need to go somewhere, I just want to grab something to eat. Give me 2 minutes. I want to grab a bowl of cereal. I'm not eating ready to leave. Andraba, I want to eat my bowl of cereal here and then go. And then I start eating whatever. Say, you know what? I'll take the rest with me. Oh, now you have shini makom. You start eating a... whatever it is. I want to say a Danish, because then you get into Shivas Aminim. Or it could be a Danish, but you didn't need a Kazayas yet, right? Because also, if you didn't need a Kazayas, it doesn't require Bracha Achrona B'Makoma, like we learned last week, because it doesn't require Bracha Achrona. You ate less than a Kazayas. So you said, look, let me eat this first. And you sit down and take a bite, and then you say, you realize the time's up, you know what, I'll just come. And you change your mind, or even if you didn't change your mind, but you decide, you take some of it with you to eat, then you're not considered holchei drachim. Now, you're not considered holchei drachim, and the rules of shini makom apply. However, okay, so, but I want to come back to that in a second, just let me just make sure I got the basic rules of the traveler.
So it all depends how you started, the kavana you had when you started to learn.
Right, the kavana meaning, yes and no, meaning, let's be clear. If you're sitting home and eating, and you have in mind, you know what, I want to continue. I want to start here. I want to eat something here. You know, spend a few more minutes at home. You know, whatever. And then I want to continue somewhere else. That's not going to help you, right? Kavana then doesn't help you. Kavana helps you only if I'm already begeder a traveler. I'm only making the bracha in the house, as I said, because I'm waiting for somebody to pick me up. I'm ready to leave. It's just he's not here yet. My cab's not here. My ride's not here. Or I made the bracha in the house, as I said, as I'm walking, I'm about to walk out. I just make the bracha in the house. Maybe have a little more kavana. I'll have more kavana if I make the bracha right and I go into the street. Or I want to take a sip so that it doesn't spill. But I'm already on the move.
What about if you have a kavana to come back? Meaning, I sat down to like have a cup of coffee, but like someone called me and said, by the way, I'm gonna come by your house and I'm just gonna drop something off. Can you come out and grab it for me? So I'm waiting for him to come, so I'm waiting to travel outside.
I don't think that's not called the traveler, no. I'd wrap it. That's called, I'm eating here, then I'll das to go outside, and that doesn't help. So das to go outside doesn't help unless you make yourself into a holchei drachim. I don't believe that makes a holchei drachim. It's just going to go. But so he has to either actually make the bracha outside, make the bracha in the car or whatever it is, and then even if he goes, like I said, from place to place, the bracha continues the whole time. He's going on a trip, he's driving from one city to another, and he makes a bracha in his car. And he stops for gas, and he gets gas, and he goes back in his car. Maybe he goes into the rest stop there, into the place, and buys himself something. He's holchei drachim, and his bracha is not nifsek. His bracha is not bracha. If he stops at that place and he says, you know what, let's take a half hour to eat lunch here, or it's 50, whatever it is, let's sit and eat lunch. He sits down, there's a bench there, sits down to eat bench, and then he says, okay, you know, we better get going. I'm not finished yet. So come, you finish in the car. That's already shinamaka, because you were koveya, even though you're on a trip, but you were koveya yourself to eat lunch or to eat your snack in this place, not to eat it on the move. Somebody didn't finish and they're going to take the rest of their food into the car, or even everybody didn't finish, makes no difference. Then that's going to be considered already a different story. That's shinamaka because they were kavua and they're breaking the kviyas. But I just want to I want to clarify this point, that when I said that if you made a bracha, let's say you were not a holchei drachim, you were intending to eat in the house, and then you went and then you took some of the food with you outside. So there's still a shaila, because while we're ours, in that case, lefi lechaye adam, which the Mishnah Berurah brings down, the minute you step out, you need to make a new bracha, which is what we've been saying till now. And everyone would agree that if you want to eat, something different, which you aren't eating in the house, something different, you for sure have to make a new bracha, even if it's something which you normally would have included under the same shahakal, but now that you went outside, you have to make a new bracha. However, that same piece of food, or that same food, with that same apple, or that same bag of potato chips that you're eating chip after chip, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that he disagrees with the Chayyim. There's a whole tshuva about this, and you know, explains why, how he arrives at a different conclusion than the Chayyim. And he says that be'etzem, if you, the food that you already made a bracha, that food, that bag of chips, or that apple that you already made a bracha on, even shinimakam is not going to affect. And you will be able to continue that food. He agreed, another food, not if you go to somebody else's house, or if you buy something on the road and eat, of course you need a new bracha, even if it's the type of thing that you had in mind. I had in mind, this bracha of Bari Pradama should include the potato chips, and it should include anything else I have on the road. You know, it should include. No, it's not going to help you, because you were not a holchei drachim. If you started in your house, and you got the din of shini makom, so any new food you eat requires new bracha. But the food you already made the bracha on would not need a new bracha, as long as you did not, there was no hefsek, as long as you ate continuously. So continuously means either something in your mouth, like you have a sucking candy or something, or chewing gum. That's the name of Moshe Tshuva. If you want to see how he uses the, you know, he says, "Be'inyan abracha al mina candy but chewing gum." That's Moshe Tshuva, chewing gum. Something in your mouth, for sure, it's considered constant eating, and Rav Moshe has no new bracha. But even if it's not, even if it's a bag of chips, he says, as long as you're constantly eating, then he says, different than the Chayi Adam, it would not require a new bracha. It would only require a new bracha when you become a, when you do a Shinimakom, if you, there was a hefsik, now not a, long hefsek, a hefsek of more than toch kedei dibur, which means toch kedei dibur is the amount of time he says shalom alecha Rebbe. So a couple of seconds. So Rav Moshe is maskim that if you paused, if you didn't take chip after chip, or it's not in your mouth, number one, it's not something that's in your mouth like a sucking candy or chewing gum, it's something out, and you pause. So if it's an apple and you take a bite and you're chewing the whole time, and as soon as you're swallowing the last bit, you take another bite, there's no hefsek, then Rav Moshe holds there's no new bracha. That apple, I made a bracha on already, and Shinu Makkah doesn't affect it. But he says, since the Chayodim says that no, and the Mishnah Berurah makes it down, no, it doesn't make a difference if it's the same apple, the same cup of coffee, which you made a bracha, but you made the bracha intending to stay in your house, or at least for a little bit, and then you went outside, it needs a new bracha. So since the Chayodim Paskin is that way, Rav Moshe says, it better make a hefsek. Don't eat back to back. Stop in your house before you go out, stop, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, and then go out and make a new bracha, or even went out already. Stop. Don't keep eating constantly. He says, if you did, meaning you already took another bite of the apple, you know, constantly, and then, oh, I you know, you don't need a bracha, as long as it was constant, as long as there was no break of more than toch kedei dibur, you don't need another bracha, even though you're a shini makom person. You're not a holchei drachim. If you're a holchei drachim, then we said, then you never need a bracha. That's pasha. The chayyadim would agree, Rav Moshe would agree. But you're not a holchei drachim. You started in your house planning to eat in your house, and then you went outside. So the chayyadim says, the Mishnah Berurah says, b'shem chayyadim, make a new bracha immediately on the exact same apple. I don't know about the food in your mouth. He doesn't say, although Rav Shadron brings down that the Chazon Ish was masupik even about the food in your mouth. Chazon Ish was masupik that even if a candy in your mouth and you walk outside, it could be you need a new bracha. He was masupik about that. But Rav Moshe holds no. Certainly the candy in your mouth and even the apple that you're biting from constantly, without a break, does not need a new bracha. So Rav Moshe says, in order to not run into a machlokus the chayodam, so don't eat constantly. Stop. Take a pause. Not a long break. Tokhdei biber, and you know, plus a couple of seconds. Wait a couple of seconds in between bites, or in between chips, or in between, you know, sips in the coffee, l'chara, and then make a new bracha.
How about making hamotzi in the car? Is the place the car?
Yes.
Or is the place where you are on the street?
No, if you make a bracha in the car, then let's say you make a shak or something, then the place of the car, even if you travel you know, 20 miles or 120 miles.
So like, let's say hamotzi, let's say you're on your way someplace and you're late but you're really starving, and let's say you're not driving, someone else is driving, and you probably go to the bagel store, you wash in the bagel store, but then you take the bagel to the car and make hamotzi in the car, and you're off.
Yeah, so then, right. And the truth is, even if you made the bracha on the bagel in the bagel shop, but ready to leave, you just made the bracha because again, you want to have kavanah. You say you want to sit a second, take the first bite, just to not to stay there and enjoy to be kavanah. Just just to make the bracha there with more yishav adas or something. Even then, it wouldn't be.
So but, no going back to the place that you bench in the car or on
yes,
the road. Where,
yes, uh-huh. Yes.
Do you have shinui makorim berachot like netilat yadayim? Let's say that you are in your house, you do netilat yadayim. Somebody knock at the door of your house like crazy, go out, and then you come back in.
Well, you would only have to netil again if you weren't shomer your hands. If you know whatever, if somebody's knocking the door crazy, and you go out there and you end up, you know, not doing something and getting your hands positive, then you would wash again. But you wouldn't make a bracha unless, you wouldn't make a bracha unless you were like it was a major break. Okay, that pretty much wraps up Shinui Makom. Hope it's clear. That was a lot of details, but it's not that daunting, but it's extremely important.
Just to clarify the case of the mizonos or the cake, you said it's a suffix whether or not you have to make a bracha when you come back. So is that if you're going out and you're going on a trip and you have in mind that you want to continue your mizonos in the car,
you continue
so you can make a bracha achrona, you shouldn't?
No, if you, again, when you started, you were mamish ready to leave?
You're eating down, and then 5 minutes later you decide you have to run an errand. So
better to make alamich. If you're eating kazayis, better to make alamich.
But if you're eating in your house and you just want to go get the mail from your front lawn and you come back.
Well, eating what? Cake?
Yeah.
You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that.
So you're saying treat it like a brain infarction.
Yes, let me suffer. Because if you end up going out and then you're going to say, oh, I forgot, I just had this whole shiur and I forgot all about it. So you can continue without a bracha. Don't make another bracha. As long as you had a kazayis already. If you had less than a kazayis, and you went out to get the mail, and you can't, certainly if you can't see your original spot, then you'll come back in, you make a new bracha.
Just a piggyback on the press question, let's say you made a motzi on the bagel in the car, you're on your way to the wedding, when you get to the wedding, can you go into the wedding and just keep on eating?
Okay, so that's a good shayla. Is your shayla? Okay. Very good. So I, I had this discussion. I didn't double check it with him, but I had this discussion years ago with Rav David Zucker, to the Rishon LeZion in Chicago. To me, I thought that yes, you, even when you get to the place here, you can continue with the same bracha. It was pashut to him, not that way, from what I recall. But then I saw in the Svarim, they quote quote from Dayan Fisher, that he says that no, even when you get to the place that you're eventually going, and you, like I remember the case. I think I was asking, I'm leaving my house and I was going to teach somewhere in the high school, and hochedrachim, and get into my car and I'll show you. And he said, but he felt that once you get into the school building, then that, now you're kovei yourself there. That's it requires new bracha. They bring from nine fish, and not like that. That even when you get to your destination, you still can eat with the same bracha.
You still have the bench in the car though. You still have to go back to the car to bench.
No, it depends how. No, if you ate some bread in the house in the building, then you can bench it. Yeah, I wasn't even talking about bread. I was talking about you know, shackle stuff. Whatever. Mm-hmm. So I didn't. I couldn't find more deus, but I saw a couple of svarim bring from Dayan Fisher that it's not considered that it's not shinimah. Once you're hochidrachim, even when you get your destination, you go into the final place. That's it. I'm staying here for the next 2 hours. You can still eat with the same bracha.
Because you still consider it like your hochidrachim.
It's when you made the bracha, you had no kvias. When I made the bracha, I had no kvias. So it's not a numa. There's no concept of Shini Makom. That's the pshat. I'm not Hochid Drachim anymore. But there's no concept of Shini Makom if I never had a kvias to begin with. I think that's
but now the person does. Like,
okay, fine. But that's okay. Yeah, it's only if I was Koveya and then I left. So I lost my bracha. But if I was never Koveya, the fact that I'm Koveya, being Koveya place doesn't end your bracha. It's breaking your kvias. Right? If I had a kvias and I left, so I lost my bracha. But if I establish a kvias, that doesn't require a bracha. I think that's what I'm saying.
So if someone make a mitzvah and then they'll come to like a wedding, they can just continue eating any food except for like shahakal.
Yeah. I mean, you're not supposed to leave your house anyway unless you had intended initially, or if it's a, yeah, okay.
You have to have more hamotzi at that wedding also? Like with the bagel thing, you'd have to have more hamotzi at the wedding?
In order to bench there, you have to have at least, not a kazayis, but at least some more bread. Uh-huh. Yes. To bench in the second place, you have to have some bread in the second place. So if you go to Shevi, you make Friday night and you're eating at home, you invite the Shevi Brachas to dessert, and you can bench there, make sure to have at least a bite of bread over there. Mm. Okay, so let's just spend a couple of minutes on the Rosh Hashanah halachos. Just one or two points. Many people, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, they eat the various things for Simanim, Rosh Hashanah night, and amongst them are tamarim, dates, and rimonim, pomegranates, which are from the Shivas Aminim. Also, there's a minhag to eat an apple dipped in dvash, and honey. So, lemaisa, the poskim say, the proper thing to do is if you're going to be eating from the Shivas Aminim, then you should make a bracha. Even though you washed already and said a motzi, you still need to make a bracha ha'etz on these fruits which are being eaten at the beginning of the meal. And number one, it's the beginning of the meal, and they're being eaten for like a special significance, not being eaten as part of the meal. They're being eaten l'shem simon. So they do need a bracha ha'etz. But of course, only one ha'etz that's going to cover all of them. So what do you make the bracha ha'etz on? So it should be made on one of the Shivas Aminim. If you're having dates, or even dates and pomegranates, it would go on dates. Because Shivas Aminim, the halacha is, you make the bracha on that over a different ha'etz, and based on the order in the pasuk. The pasuk is very pekitz, so maybe we'll talk. Let me just say the bottom line a different time. The bottom line is, dates would be the first thing, and if you're having that date, you made a bracha on that. If you're not having dates, but you're having pomegranates, then you would make the bracha on the pomegranate. Those are the ones from the simanim of Rosh Hashanah that are Shivas Aminim. Meaning not to make the bracha on the apple. Make the bracha on these things. Now, some bring down that if you would davka have a minug or a rutzin to make on the apple, since there's an inyal pi kabbalah to have the apple, it's various reasons. So some have minug. They davka want to break the bracha, the ha'etz on the apple. They want to eat the apple first. To eat the apple first, you have to make the bracha on the, you have to make a bracha on the apple. You can't eat it first out of bracha. So at least make sure not to bring the other minim to the table yet. Leave the Shivas Aminim off to the side, off the table. Have them in mind. When you say ha'etz on the apple, have in mind to cover them. But as long as they're not in front of you, then you can get away with making a bracha on an apple, knowing that you can eat a pomegranate, which normally you shouldn't do. Normally, if you can eat an apple and a pomegranate, make a bracha on a pomegranate. If you get a date and a pomegranate, you make the bracha on a date. Here, according to this other approach, if you dafka want to make the bracha on the apple, so at least make sure the other things are off the table, make a bracha on the apple, have in mind all of the other ones, and you can do it. But if you don't have such a minug or such a, you know, any, if you want to, tell me what's right, I'll do what's right. What's right is to make the bracha, many say, many gedolim, Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Elia, and I didn't see Rav Elia, Rav Shlomo Zalman, and I saw Rav Shlomo Kamenetsky, and that make the bracha on the Shivas Aminim, the date before the pomegranate.
That's even if you have a preference for the apple?
Yes. When you're eating foods that require the same bracha, the preference factor is at the end of the line. The main fact, Shivas Aminim, is the top factor. Then the second factor would be if one is whole and one is not. Let's say they're both Shivas Aminim or neither one is Shivas Aminim, then whole. If it's a whole thing, if a whole apple and a half a pear, you make the bracha on the whole apple, even if you like pears much better. And only at the end, Chaviv is the last consideration. But buy things that have the same bracha. Now, some of the things that we make bracha, some of the things we eat samanim are hadama. Some people eat carrots and gourd, some different types of gourd, and maybe beets. There are different, different hirats, as you say. So those already, it's a much bigger shaila, because those are more food, meal foods. Even though you're eating them now, again, for some part as a special reason, but since they're meal foods, they're not foods that require a bracha typically during a meal. They typically don't. So Rav Yashin says either don't have it at the beginning. Wait, when you serve the meat and you serve the carrots, you'll say the yiratzen then. You don't have to say it at the beginning. You don't have to make it all, you know, a ceremony that you make, you take one after the other, make your, you have it later. You don't want to do that. He said if you want a dafka, have it, that you want to make a ceremony and have them all at the beginning. So then get something else which definitely needs a bracha adama, such as a banana, melon, or peanuts. These are the examples here. Those definitely need a bracha. Those are not meal foods. Those are considered like fruits in this sense. So make a bracha on that. That's what he himself used to do, and as many, you know, I've heard others do that as well. They make a bracha on a banana, for example, at the beginning. It's not one of the simonim, but it doesn't have to be. You make adama, and you cover with that bracha, you cover all the other simonim that are adama. When you make the yiratzon, with the first one that you're making the bracha ha'etz on, so you should first say the ha'etz, take a bite, and then say yiratzon. You should not say the yiratzon in between bari pro ha'etz, yiratzon, and then take a bite. L'chatchil should be the yevin. If you did, it's not a hefsik. But the yevin, if you said the yiratzon in between the bracha and then bite, you still wouldn't have to repeat the bracha. But l'chatchil you shouldn't do that. Say the bracha, take a bite, say the yiratzon. The other ones, when you're not making a bracha because you already covered it with the first bracha, then you can say the yiratzon before the first bite even. In the yiratzon itself, should you say Shem Hashem, Yiratzon Lefanecha, should you say Hashem with Hashem's real name, or should you just say something other than Hashem's real name? So you could say Hashem's name. It's okay to do that. It's permissible to do that. Even Ashkenazim who are less prone to use Shem Hashem out of brachas and stuff. Even so, for this Yiratzon, you could do that. But even so, I saw from Rosh Hashanah Zaman and others bring that they would only do it one time. They would say Hashem on the first one. They would use Shem Hashem, and after that, they would just say here some of the Avinu Shem Hashemayim. Because to say one after the other Shem Hashem each time, I mean, when you say Shem Hashem, you're really supposed to have kavanah. You're supposed to have real good kavanah. And so to one if the other, three, four, five, six times, some people have many simonim, it's better, do it once, do it the first time, and after that, say Avinu Shem Hashemayim. That's how Rosh Hashanah Zaman, I think what he did himself, he recommended it, so others recommend this. That's, I think, a good, let's call it a good pshara, a good mahalach to do. And, okay, I will pause this. I think, this is the last year before Sukkot, because next week is Motzei Rosh Hashanah, Tuesday night, the following is Etlil.